give him a hand. Hey, guys, praise God. What a powerful name it is. That is absolutely amazing. Would you just give God a hand one more time? Yeah, absolutely. And thank all these guys for singing for us and leading us in worship. And hey, how many of you know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life? How many? Yeah? All right. Well, you can clap. Yeah, clap. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's awesome. Yes. So our God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, that he sent him here so that we could be reconnected to the creator of the universe, so that we could have joy and peace and hope in this life, so that we could be connected to him again, so that we can love other people and we can love Jesus. And that is absolutely amazing. And so as I was reading my devotions this week, I came across this passage. I've been reading 1 Peter. And I came across this passage in chapter 2, and I want to read this to you. I got to put my old man glasses on here. And so 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says this. It says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." That if we know Jesus, if he has done that work in our hearts, that he called us to love him so much that we would love others, that we would serve others, that they would care for him. And then he tells us a little bit about Jesus and why. And this next part of that verse, this was written by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Peter put it into 1 Peter. 700 years before Jesus died on the cross, this prophecy about Jesus was made, and it says this. It says, "He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And by his wounds we are healed. Once we, like sheep, had wandered away, but now we have turned to our shepherd, the guardian of our souls." And I love that passage. And I love that idea that Jesus, his sacrifice, his wounds, by his wounds we're healed. And that verse there, healed, it's that word there, healed, is actually, it's a Hebrew word in Isaiah originally, and the word is shalom. And you probably heard that word several times because we talk about shalom here at Grace all the time. And what shalom means in that passage is that by his wounds you are made whole. Not just healed, but made whole. That we're brought into wholeness. And that wholeness, it means wholeness of mind, of body, of spirit. And it means wholeness in relationship with God and with others. That one little point, that by his wounds, by Jesus' sacrifice, that we are made whole. We can have a whole relationship with God. We can talk with him. We can know him. It's absolutely amazing. And we can love other people because of that. So would you pray with me really quick? Father God, thank you for your great, great love. Thank you that you sent your son to die for us. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts and into our minds today, and that you would lead us to where you want us to go, and that we would be motivated by your great love to serve and love other people. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Hi everybody, so I am Jeremy, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I'm our Give It Away and Care pastor. And if you're new here, you might not know what Give It Away is, but we are super glad that you are here. We count it a joy that we get to walk alongside of you to get to know our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's awesome. We're super glad. I'd love to get to know you. After the service, I'll be out in the lobby. Feel free to stop by and talk to me. Love to get to know you some. And so, but if you don't know what Give It Away is, if you're newer here, you just don't know and you wonder, we at Grace Church believe that the most important fact that any human being can know is it. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we just talked about that, that God sent his son to die for us, that if we believe in him, that we can have everlasting life, that we can have wholeness of relationship with God. And so my mission, what I get to do as a pastor, it's pretty awesome, is I get to mobilize us to give it away. I get to mobilize us to take the gospel out into our communities and offer it to people. And so I want to talk a little bit more about Give It Away and why we do the things we do and Give It Away a little bit later in this message. But before then, I want to tell you a little story. So when I was a teenager, I was a runner. And runners, they kind of have their own weird way of living, right? I mean, like now that I'm an adult and I'm a little bit more mature, you know what I'm saying? And I think to myself, why in the world would anyone ever run for no reason at all, right? It's crazy to me. But I was a runner and I remember that. And I remember when I think it was 1996. Maybe, or 1900s, you guys, you weren't even thought of, none of you. There's a bunch of teens right here. So. Anyway, I remember I was flipping through a magazine, you also don't know what those are, and I was flipping through this Runner's World magazine, and I remember seeing there was this full page ad of this guy, and he was fully nude from behind, okay? So don't freak out on me, all right? But he was fully nude, and the caption said, "Runners, yeah, we're different." And that ad campaign was huge for the Adidas shoe company. It actually was a defining moment that launched them into the running shoe market. It made them significantly larger. It made young kids like me who were running cross country and track think about wearing Adidas shoes. When at that point, like, I never thought of anything other than Nike. It kind of changed the way we thought. And there were tons of those ads. Look at these. So there he is. There he is right there. Don't worry. I put a blue circle over it, okay? And the circle can't be moved. I locked it so that they don't play tricks on us back there. But he's just finished this trail run, and he's covered in mud. In fact, I just found out who this guy is last night. I'll tell you about that later. But anyway, so he was covered in mud. He just finished this trail run, and you could see somebody's over here. They were hiking, and they're like, "What is he doing?" But he was just like, "Yeah, well, I'm all muddy, so I'll just take off all my clothes and just change right here in public. No big deal, right? Runners, they're different." And then there's this guy. He's in the bank, and I don't know, he cramped up or something, and he's just like, "I'll just stretch right here in the bank." That's what these things were for. Did you know that? These posts, they're so you can stretch, I guess. Or there's this lady, and she's pushing the stroller. And again, you wouldn't know this, but if you were born, you know, in the 2000s, but like this stroller, we didn't have these things in the 90s, in the 80s and 90s. This was like a newfangled. We were like, "What is that? That's amazing." And this lady, I didn't realize that she's pregnant and still running because she's motivated to run. And then there's this lady in the back who is like, "Man, I wish I had that awesome stroller." And look at this little kid. You know what she's thinking. "I wish my mom was that awesome and I was in that stroller." You can see it on her face. Look at her. Yeah. So anyway, so runners are different, and that's what these ads are all about. They're about people being willing to do things that nobody else might do, but it's cool. And that ad campaign changed the running division of Adidas forever. It changed the running world, in fact, because it defined runners. It helped popularize running in our culture. It made being different something that was to be proud of. It highlighted the devotion and the discipline and the pain and the sacrifice that runners are willing to embrace because of what they get out of running. Whether that's endorphins, you know, like the runner's high, whether that's the pain, whether that's the pride that they get, whether it's the definition of their life, like it kind of defines them a little, I'm a runner, or the community that they get out of running. And so it's super weird, I think, what humans, what we are willing to do if we get something out of it. So runners, they're like, I get this 5-minute runner's high after I run for like an hour, right? Or they're like, well, I love running. I love the running community. I like belonging to something. I like feeling welcomed. I get health benefits out of it. And all those things, they motivate them to keep on running. And it's weird, but you know what? Not to them, because they have experienced what running gives them. And they're different, but they're willing to be a little weird. And so we're in this series that we're calling Why We Serve. And what we're really doing is we're answering the question of why do we give of ourselves? Why do we serve God? Why do we love other people? Why do we sacrifice? Why do we serve? And so last week, Pastor Tony said something that stuck in my head. He said, sometimes Christians can be a little bit weird. And he's definitely right about this. Think about the phrases that we use. You have to be born again. You have to be washed in the blood. Pick up your cross. Carry your cross daily, right? Ask Jesus into your heart. There's a whole dude in there somewhere, right? Like, that's weird. And then we say, like, we do weird things. We go on retreats. And we go on missions trips. And we give our time to other people to help them. And we don't ask for anything in return. We listen to people teach on a book over. And we give hours and hours to that, despite how amazing they look. Okay? But we give hours to that. And we read the Bible over and over and over and over again. And we say that every time it changes. Those things are weird. You know, we baptize people. We dunk them in water 3 times, not just once. We're not okay with once. We do it 3 times, right? And then we think that it does something amazing, which, by the way, it does. But from the outside looking in, that's weird. We're a little bit weird. So why would we do that? Because just like runners, there's a reason why we are willing to do the things that we do. There's a reason why we serve other people, why we serve God. And when we answer that question, why we serve, we're defining a large part of what it really means to be a Christian. We're naming the motivation behind our devotion and our sacrifice and our love and even the closeness that we have to each other, right? And so my goal today is to do 3 things. I'm going to answer fairly quickly why we serve from a passage in Galatians chapter 5. And then I'm going to explain a little bit about give it away and what the give it away world kind of looks like and why we do what we do and why that's important to our church. And then I'm going to introduce us to the local ministry partners who you've seen out in the lobby out there. I want you to get to know them a little bit better. And maybe even hopefully serve with them. And so let's start. Grab your Bible. Turn it to Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible with you, those black Bibles under your chairs, it's page 945, 945-ish, 945, 946 in those black Bibles. And if you don't have your own Bible, we say this pretty much every week, we would love for you to take that Bible home. We'd love for you to read it. We'd love for you to maybe open it to the book of John and learn more about Jesus. We count it a privilege to jump on that journey of getting to know Jesus with you. And so you can have that. It's a gift from us. But please read it, because the words of the Bible, the words of God, they change our lives. And so we're going to look at verse 13 in Galatians chapter 5. It says this. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So right off the bat there, what the Apostle Paul is saying is he's saying we are free. Saying we're free, and he's saying that love motivates us to serve other people. And Paul wrote this letter to a church in a town called Galatia. And they had kind of lost their way a little bit. Some people had entered into the church, and they were imposing religious law on the people. And they were turning, what Paul kind of said, they were kind of turning faith into slavery, to law. And then some others, because of that, just went in the complete opposite direction. And they were like, they were living, and they just threw out restraint, and they were living only for themselves and not even thinking about others. And so Paul, he actually calls both of those things. He says, those are slavery. That's slavery. And so usually if the Bible, if the New Testament of the Bible is talking about slavery, it's warning us about two things. It's warning about these two things. It's warning us that we're trying to save ourselves through religious effort. Some people might be in this place right now. You might think to your, you might even say to other people who are trying to introduce you to Jesus, you might say, well, I kind of believe in that Jesus, but I'm not ready. I need to get some things cleaned up. I need to fix myself up, right, before I can follow Jesus. Or you might be a believer already and you need, man, I got to follow all these rules and there's so many things and I got to be the perfect person, and you're constantly trying to do to be perfect, right, to strive for perfection. And what Paul is saying is that slavery. Or he's saying is, or he might be pointing also to abandoning righteousness entirely and living for self. And he's saying that's slavery. Because Jesus, he told us that you can only serve one master. You can either serve God, which brings us freedom and hope and joy and peace, or you can serve something else, anything else. Religious law, selfish ambition, power, that list goes on and on. You can only serve one thing, God, or ultimately, to be honest, self. Paul says that those things are slavery. So Paul says earlier in the chapter, he says this, he says, you are trying to be justified by the law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. Saying, guys, you've gotten it all wrong. You're trying so hard to be good. You're trying to prove your worth to God. And it actually cuts you off from Christ Jesus. So you're living just for yourself. But that's slavery. And you've forgotten God's grace. So we're going backwards a little bit in Galatians, but verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5 says this. It says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Not for slavery, it's for freedom that he set us free. And he says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by the yoke of slavery. You're free. And it's not about enslaving yourself to self-righteousness. It's about trusting in Christ's sacrifice, in God's love for you, in the resurrection, and finding grace through faith. This is a freedom. We're free. And then in verse 13, he's moving on to show us and to show that church that Christian living is not actually very complex at all. It's free. He's saying, don't let your freedom lead you to forgetting, to things that will cause you to forget about Christ. And he calls that indulgence of the flesh. So don't go from slavery to laws to slavery to sin. Instead, Paul says this, serve one another humbly in love. And this preposition here, in, and I should get brownie points because I know what a preposition is, okay? But this preposition here, in, It could be more accurately translated as through love. Serve one another humbly through love. He's not talking about like through your love for them. He's talking about through God's love for you that motivates you, motivates us, God's love. And then he's talking about God's love working through you and God's love for them that motivates us to love them. Not ours, but his. And so we don't serve to earn God's love. We serve through God's love. And that motivates us to love others, to serve those who are made in the image of God. Because the Bible tells us that all human beings are made in the image of God, right? That we are the very essence of God, that he intended that we would be like him, that we would have relationship to him. And sin broke that, but through Jesus Christ, that is fixed. It's weaved back together. So through faith in him, we can know that. Paul's saying, we want you to understand the love of Jesus Christ. So look at what Jesus says about himself. He had just finished explaining why the apostles should not think of themselves as any better than others. And so you probably remember this from a few weeks ago. Jesus has said that don't think of yourselves as greater than someone else, than anyone else. It's not about position, it's about love. And then he gave this reason, he gave this statement. He said, just as the Son of Man, talking about himself there, he's the Son of Man, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Think about that for a second, right? Jesus did not come to this earth so that he could build some kingdom that would enslave everybody else and he could just lord over it and he could just be in charge. He didn't come to be served by us. He came to serve us. So much that he was willing to give his life so that we could have freedom. That verse that I read at the beginning says that he took our punishment, our sins upon him in his body. He made that sacrifice for us. So Jesus chose to be that sacrifice to pay for our failures and to give us, through faith, freedom. And he served us, and his love is what makes us free. And it's what motivates us to love others. And so Paul, there in verse 13, he wants us to see all of those things. The sacrifice that God made in Jesus and the gift that Jesus made in giving his life and raising from the dead motivates us to love others. And it's through Christ that we're moved to love other people. And that's amazing. Is that not awesome? Right? And so I love what Pastor Casey said a couple weeks ago. Do you remember this? He was talking about Niagara Falls. And he said, when you're standing at the bottom of Niagara Falls and you look up, it takes your breath away. It moves you. If you stand there and you take in the sheer power of God's creation, you're moved. That great power, it cannot be denied. And God's love is like that great power. God's love is so powerful and so strong that it moves us in our lives if we allow it. Right? That Paul says that it causes us to love one another through love, to serve one another through love. And so just like those weird runners, right, are motivated, they're willing to sacrifice their energy, their time, their dignity. You've seen those shorts, right? And so all of that, because what did I get out of it? They're moved. So we're moved by Christ's love to serve and care for others. And when that love takes root, it causes us to say things like this. I love kids, and I want them to know Jesus. Or I'm burdened for people, I want them to know the worth that they have in Jesus. God's love has given me hope, and I want others to know that hope. Our hearts are changing, right? Our minds are changed by Him. That love, it moves us, it changes us. And that's the heartbeat of God. His love working through us, that it would motivate us to love and care for other people. And so we've answered the question of why we serve. So now I want to take a look at why do we do give it away the way that we do here at Grace Church. And three ways that give it away is kind of fleshed out in our actions in our church body. So in the give it away world, we've tried to be very strategic about the partners that we serve with, the ministries that we invest our time in, and our resources, and even that we invest your time in. And so there's reasons behind that, right? At Grace, we have these values that lead us, they guide us in our mission as we serve Jesus Christ and others. And so I want to show you a couple of these values. The first one is we actively seek ministry partnerships. And the second one is we live to make Jesus make sense. So these two, they're just a few of the values that we believe that kind of God has given us to mobilize us in serving Him. But they explain why it is that we do what we do in the give it away world. And I love that idea that we actively seek ministry partners because we cannot do it alone. Grace Church can't do it alone. We need to leverage the strength of organizations who are serving Jesus well in our communities. And so we are preoccupied with making the necessary sacrifice to make Jesus, the story of Jesus, clear and accessible to anyone who might be seeking after Him. We don't want there to be any barrier to someone getting to know Jesus Christ. So we make decisions purposefully with that in mind. And when we say we, right, I'm not just talking about we, the pastors, I'm not talking about the staff here. I'm talking about we, the church of Jesus Christ, the people of Jesus Christ who have put their faith in Jesus, all of us here today who follow Jesus Christ, every single one of us is charged, right, with this. What do we need to do to make sure that the gospel is available to everyone? So we're intentional about that. We want people to know the Lord. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to our community. We want to make Jesus make sense. So our missions philosophy says this. It says that we will work heavily with a few key partnerships rather than lightly with many. Which is why you don't see 50 different partner organizations out there in the lobby, right? You see, I think there's 9 here today. Those are the only 9 local organizations that we work directly with. We've been very strategic about that. And it's intentional. And it's because we don't want to take on more partners than what we can actually be committed to. So we go through a vetting process. We get to know those organizations before we fully partner with them. We have a philosophy. It's a pretty big document. We have this philosophy of missions and why we do what we do. But there are 3 kind of underlying points that we use, and these are them. We say that we want there to be a clear emphasis on discipling the people of Grace Church. So we partner with organizations that us, as the body of Christ at Grace Church Medina East, are somehow discipled through that work that we do. We learn more about Jesus, and we learn more about serving others through that partnership and through doing that work. And then we want that strategy to lend itself to making measurable impact on the mission field. So we probably won't partner with an organization if we aren't going to be helpful to them. In fact, we would say that we believe that we should probably be giving more than they are giving to us. That our plan would be that we would be making a measurable impact on the mission field where we go to serve. And so that's part of why we do that. And it goes both ways. And there's an alignment of vision and the church's values. So our goal is that we would be on the same page in why we serve Jesus and in what we do. And so not every organization fits into that. And some of them are even doing a great job in serving Jesus, but it doesn't fit what we're doing. And then often organizations, they come, they'd like to partner with us, or we think about partnering with them, and then we're just not ready yet. And so we'll take a little bit of time and we'll get to know them, and we'll make that decision very intentionally. So our goal is to build partnerships that mutually benefit our church and the organization for the building of the kingdom of Christ Jesus. And that's led us to where we are today, right? This is Local Ministry Partner Weekend. Organizations that are here are right here in Medina County, and they're serving our county, and that's what we're heading for. And I checked on some stats about service and about who people are. Did you know there are around 183,000 people in Medina County? And did you know that there are about 50 churches in Medina County? So I'm not good at math, but I think, check me on this, if there are 50 churches and there's 1,000 people in each, some are bigger, some are smaller, but that's, you know, really the average church size is about 150. But let's say there's 1,000 in each, just to throw out a huge number. That's 50,000 people. Does anybody even know that percentage, 183, 50,000? I don't know what that percentage is, but I do know this. There are a ton of people in Medina County. 133,000, did I do that right? 133,000 people in Medina County that don't go to church, that don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we do what we do. And it's why we need these partners, because we cannot do it alone. And so in July, we're going to have a global ministry weekend, a global partner weekend. We're going to bring in our missionaries, and we're going to, from France and from Mazatlan, Mexico, from Philadelphia, from a few other areas, and we're going to have them talk to you about what God is doing globally in the partnerships that we work with. And then in October, we're going to talk. We're going to have our partners here in the foster care and adoptive area. Why do we serve foster kids? Why are we so passionate about loving foster kids? Why do we serve in that way? Why do we serve foster families? Why do we serve adoptive families? Why do we absolutely want to love on them? And why are we so passionate about the people? Tony last week kind of said, these are the orphans of our society. We want to love them because God is deeply, deeply burdened for their souls. And so we're going to see that in October. We're going to talk about that. And so now that you understand a little bit, right, about why we make the decisions that we make and who we serve, I want to quickly show us three of the ways that we flesh out Give It Away at Grace Church. So so we're going to talk about these three important things. And what we would kind of hope as leaders at Grace Church is we would hope that all of the followers of Jesus Christ here at Grace Church Medina East Campus, all who follow Jesus Christ, would be involved in these three pretty easy things. The first is your three. And your three is that we commit to pray and ask God to help us find three people that are in close proximity to us. So this could be your next door neighbor. This could be someone you work with, someone that you just care about, that you see all the time, someone who is close to you, right? They go to school with you, something like that. You get the idea, right? And that we write down the names of these three people, and we commit to praying for them regularly, that God would draw them to himself. That God would give us the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them, to share his love with them. And so you can find on our Give It Away website, you can find on the weekly on the website, the church website. You can find more about the three there. You can find those little stickers that look like this out in the cafe area. And I would kind of charge you, like, grab that sticker, throw it on your water bottle, throw it on something you take with you everywhere you go, on your notebook, whatever. And every time you see that, pray for those three people. Just take those, 30 seconds and ask God to work in their lives. And then our second thing is our neighboring initiative. So when a need comes into our church from the community, our give it away people, we compile all the information, we get it ready to send out, we send the need out to this group through an email, and we ask for help. And so you can use that QR code right there. There's like three questions you have to answer. It takes 3 seconds probably. And you can fill it out and join this group. And so there's a lot of people on this email list, probably close to 500 people. But we would love for you to join this, because here's why. You don't have to take every need. But if that email comes in and God does something in your head and says, hey, you could do this, or you have the skills to help make this happen, we'd love for you to say, hey, I want to help. How can I help? How can I be the hands and feet of Jesus to these people who are in need? And we would love for you to respond that way. And so then I tell you, not too long ago, there was this young mother, and her car broke down, and she did not have the means to get it fixed. So she also did not have the means to get to work anymore. And she was worried, how am I going to take care of this? So we put it out through neighboring needs. It was amazing, the response. We had one person who gave her a car and said, hey, drive this until you get your car fixed. We had another person who said, hey, I'll pay for the tow truck to get your car to where it needs to go. And still another person who said, hey, I'll pay for the mechanic to fix it. And I think there was even another guy who was like, hey, just bring it to my house, I'll fix it for you. And so we got that done, and we got her car taken care of and got it back to her. And what a blessing that was to her. These folks were the hands and feet of Jesus in her life. And that's what neighboring is all about. Or there's third thing is our Love Medina weekend. It's happening next weekend, May 2nd and 3rd. It's a way for, like Grace said earlier, for our entire church to go out into the community and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, be his hands and feet to our community. And so in some cases, people will be serving with our local partners. They're gonna help with work projects around their facilities. In other cases, groups will go to folks' homes who would not have the ability to accomplish what we're going to do on their own. And then in some cases, we're gonna go to our local schools and help to beautify their grounds in cases where the school district just doesn't have the money to do that work anymore. And so we think this is a way for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus right here in our community. In fact, one of those schools, a few of our guys that were out there were able to talk to the teacher, and the teacher was like, why are you guys even doing this? When they found out that we were gonna pay for all of it, that they didn't have to pay for anything, they were like, why would you do that? And that's a great opportunity to share the reason we serve, because of what Jesus has done in our lives. So you don't need to sign up for Love Medina anymore. You can just show up next Saturday or Sunday, show up here to Grace at 8:30 in the morning, and we will make sure you get on a team either one of those days. So we've answered the why do we serve, and taking a look at Give It Away and why it's so important to our church, why we do make some of the decisions that we made. So I want to take a few minutes to introduce you to our local partner organizations. So my hope is that after this, that something will spur in your mind and you'll want to go out and just get to know them as the Lord leads you, and you let his love move through you. So the first is Cubs Collective. So our friends Cindy and Jen and their volunteers, they serve diverse populations in Medina. They serve a population of people who in the morning are finding Jesus's love through relationships as they come through the door of the cafe. People find Jesus while they're being fed a free meal, while they're surrounded by people who love them and care about them without any judgment, sit and talk with them and get to know who they are. and who invest their time to show them Christ. They serve kids and teenagers. They have programs like tutoring, other life skills programs. They offer the love of Jesus Christ to these kids. They offer the gospel to them. And also in many cases, these kids who come to CUPS, they, especially in the summer when the school is out, they may not have anywhere else that they get food, because they may get their meal at school. And so they're getting a good meal there at CUPS. And so they serve there, and it is awesome what they do. You can volunteer with them and help them. Or personal care pantry here in Medina that offers personal care items to things that are super expensive that you know a lot of us can afford, but there are many people in our community that cannot. You've been to Target, right? You've seen it's expensive to live. And so these personal care items, they offer those things for free or at a very low reduced cost to help people meeting a real need in our community. We have Love Inc. That's Love in the Name of Jesus Christ here in Medina County. And a lot of our neighboring initiative needs come through Love Inc. Because their mission is to help and connect people in need with churches who can meet those needs. So you can help with them as well. They're out there. LifeWise Academies from Medina and Wadsworth, where the Lord Jesus has opened the door for these organizations to form relationships with the local schools, and they, where children are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis during school hours. Kids are memorizing scripture, they're learning songs of worship to Jesus, and most of these are children who have never heard the gospel before. And so we serve right alongside of them, we partner with them to make sure that the gospel is accessible to the schools around us. There's Reclaim Men's Ministry, and they say that they help men find who they are, who they truly are in Jesus. They say Reclaim exists to see all men fully alive. We use the wild to take them there, and we envision a day when men not only know what they are supposed to do, but more importantly, who their Father is and who he says they are. Reclaim believes that when a man becomes who God intended him to be, love and life and leadership will begin to overflow through them to those around them. So we partner with Reclaim because we've witnessed what happens in the lives of those men. We have seen men's lives change. Men from right here in our church. And it's amazing. They're truly disciplers who are discipling, who make disciples, who make disciples. And so we're partnering right alongside of them. And last week you got to meet Dallas. You guys remember that? He was on his way to Ukraine. So he and another guy from our church named Cosman are in Ukraine right now. Yesterday they were in Kyiv. I think they're still in Kyiv right now, serving there in Ukraine. And so Dallas was burdened by a love for orphans and refugees. And he said, God, what do you want from me? And God said, I want you to go to Ukraine. And so he's there right now getting himself settled in. And he's going to serve orphans and refugees there, showing them the love of Christ. And Cosman Boda started this organization, Transform Lives Global. Because when that war started in Ukraine, he saw that there was a need. God put something on his heart. He's like, I have to do something. He himself, as a child, was a refugee. And so he said, I have to do something. He was talking with his wife, and he got on a plane, and he flew to Ukraine. And through a series of events, God connected him with people who were serving orphans and aged-out foster kids and who were serving with refugees. And so Transform Lives Global serves with orphans and refugees in Ukraine, in Turkey, and they're also beginning to serve with aged out foster kids here in the United States. And so this organization is out there in the lobby as well. We'd love for you to get to know them, and you should hear Cosman's entire life story. It's amazing. So, you know, a couple weeks from now when he's back, if you want to know him, just find me and be like, hey, who was that guy that went to Ukraine? Will you introduce me? And I will, because you would love that story. It's amazing. There's another guy in our church. His name is Bob Drummond. And God put a passion on his heart in retirement for the elderly of our community, to serve the elderly of our community. And another amazing, he was retired. He built a house in Florida. And God said to him, this is all you're going to do? So he sold his house and moved back up here and started serving the elderly. And then he's like, I got to start an organization. Started talking with us. And so we said, hey, we will help you figure out how to do this. Bob's a mover and a shaker. And so he started Boaz Fields. Their ministry, their passion is to serve the elderly in our community, who in many ways would not be able to accomplish some of the things that he wants to help with. And so you can go and see Oasis of Hope. And this group, they break the chains of abortion and of broken lives in the pregnancy process. Oasis gives women the chance to consider other options other than abortion. They have an ultrasound clinic. They let mothers hear the heartbeat of the baby, and they don't just leave them there. That would be kind of cruel, right? But in fact, they walk alongside mothers, young mothers, through that child's life, and they give them mentoring, and they help them find resources, and they help them to grow as a parent. And fathers, they offer mentoring to young men as well to become fathers. Because, you know, it's scary when you're young and you have a baby. I was scared to death when I had my son. I had no idea what to do. And so these men, so you, if you're mature in your faith, men, you can walk alongside these young men and you can help mentor them into being a parent. And women, you can mentor these young women in how to be a parent and change lives forever, break cycles forever. So we'd love for you to serve alongside of Oasis of Hope. And so then there's Faithful Servants Care Center in Wadsworth. So this is a medical center with doctors and nurses and other medical professionals who serve people who would not be able to get the treatment that they give any other way. If you're in the medical field especially and you would feel called in this way, I'm looking at you right there. And I'm just kidding. And you would feel called in this way, they're out there. They'd love to talk to you. They'd love to serve with you. And so are we not incredibly blessed to have all of these partners that we get to serve with? Is that not amazing what God has done, right? We are just overly blessed. So before I end, I want to tell you a quick story because I want you to get the heart of this. So last year, my wife and I and my daughter, we got to go on this missions trip to Philadelphia, our Philadelphia Go team. We went with all the teenagers from our youth group. There was like 15 teens and a few of us adults. We got to go to Kensington, Philadelphia. If you don't know Kensington, that's my home, man. My wife and I and our kids spent a long portion of our lives living in Kensington, Philadelphia, on the mission field there, serving the people of that community. Absolutely love them. It is one of the kindest places on earth, in spite of the fact that it is also one of the darkest places on earth. Incredible need for Jesus there. And we got to go there and serve. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit, he showed up in amazing ways. I watched as teenagers who I'm embarrassed to say, I had already made some assumptions about them, right? Young, middle class. I mean, I came from Kensington, so young, middle class teenagers, right? I made some assumptions. They say words like low key. Like, that's low key. That was low key scary. What does that even mean? But you know, so I had made decisions about who they were in my mind before we went. And God, I watched as the Lord Jesus Christ got into their hearts and minds, and he changed them, but he changed me more. They still say low key. But they allowed him to work in them. They courageously let him work through them. They said, God, we want, I remember one of them praying this in a meeting. They said, we want you to move through us. We want you to use us. We don't want it to be about us. We want it to be about you. He showed up in amazing ways. These kids did amazing things. You know what I'm talking about. You guys were awesome. And so he showed up in them. And many of them have lived on mission since. Several of them have started Bible studies in their schools. One of them, this kid, he was a freshman in college this last year. He was so impacted by what God did in his life in Philadelphia that he decided, I have to tell people about Jesus. I have got to share the hope of Jesus with them. So he just started walking around the streets of Cleveland, just offering hope of Jesus with whoever he could talk with. That's so weird and so amazing how God got into him and moved in him. And some of them have shared the gospel with their friends in their classrooms at school. Some of them have shared with their sports teams. Many of them have seen their friends come to know Jesus and then have invited them to the youth group. There are parents that I know and that I see every week in this church whose kid was so impacted by their friend who was in Philadelphia that they come to our church now. They wanted to know what Jesus was all about because of how their teenager was changed. Those teenagers get it. They understand what it's about. Many of them are going on go teams again this year to go and serve. They want to serve Jesus. Two of them, this is like amazing. Two of them who were going in completely different directions with their life, still loving Jesus, they were going to serve in pretty lucrative jobs. They were going to college. These are smart kids, 4.0 kids. These kids, and they are going to join our staff next year as interns. Because whatever God did in them, he said to them, and they listened, and they were moved, and they said, God, we're going to serve you with our entire life. They're going to go to Grace College. They're going to, yeah, you should clap for them. They're freaking, it's amazing what God is doing. And they're going to serve him, and they're going to serve alongside us. We absolutely love it. They get it. The love of God moves through them. Serve. And that's what this is all about. And so as I call the band up, the Lord has given us so much and he loves us so much, right? His love moves through us and it defines us. And yes, we're a little bit weird. I'm the weirdest of us. But God's love motivates us to love and care for others. That is absolutely amazing. So I want to ask you to do one thing before we worship. I want to ask you if you would do this one specific thing. Would you pray, spend just a couple of moments in prayer and ask God, God, please show me how I can be moved to serve others. How can I serve? And if you're not sure about Jesus yet, maybe you're still a little bit skeptical. Would you take a risk and ask God, God, would you show me, would you help me to understand, Lord, what they're talking about? I would go as far as to say, God, prove it. Because he will. God, prove it. Prove it. Show me why these Christians are so weird, why they're willing to serve others. Show me that love that changes you. So we're going to pray for just a couple of moments, and then we're going to worship God.